Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Samach Tes. We're learning today Le'ilei Nishmas, David Siegel's mother. David was a regular member of my live Daf Yomi for several cycles. She lived and be well. Bertha Siegel is his mother. Bela Finkel Bas Yehuda. All the shams we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of Tzal, the Kochos HaBitachon. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim, successful in all of their endeavors. And B'ezus Hashem, there should be peace for all of Klal Yisrael and safety for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up on the Gemara, four lines in the top of the two dots, Samach Tesam Ralph, with the words Gufo. Gufo always means we're going to go and repeat what we learned yesterday, so we'll jump right into it. Gufo, we learned in yesterday's Shir, Amar Rav Yochanan, Gozal Velo Nisyashu HaBalim. The Yochanan's opinion is, if a person stole something and the original owners, the person who he stole from, has not yet given up hope of getting the object back, so shneim einun yecholun lahakdish. So the ganav, who is physically in possession of the stolen item, can't be makdisha because it's not his. And the original owner, however, cannot be makdisha as well, Rav Yochanan says, because it's not in his possession, even though he owns it. So shneim einun yecholun lahakdish, as I just said, zelafi sheinu shelo, because the ganav doesn't own it, zelafi sheinu bishu, so the real owner doesn't physically have it in his possession. It's in the ganav's possession. That's what Rav Yochanan said in yesterday's shiur. Now we're going to discuss this. More questions. Really? Does Rav Yochanan really hold that the original owner can't be makdish the item? After all, the Omer Rav Yochanan, halacha ki stam mishnah. Rav Yochanan is famous throughout Shas for saying that when we have a stam mishnah, when Rav Yehuda Nasi, when Rebbe put the end of the mishnayis, and he didn't give the authorship of a specific Mishnah. It's listed as a, quote, Stam Mishnah. It doesn't say who the author is. That's how we paskin. The reason why Rebbe put it as a Stam Mishnah, he wanted it to be said, listen, don't argue. This is a Stam Mishnah. It is the way we paskin. So Rav Yochanan told us this din, that halachic is Stam Mishnah, that we paskin normally like a Stam Mishnah. Now here, Utnan, we have a Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni that is a Stam Mishnah. It says, Kerem Rivai, if you have a vineyard that is in the fourth year, so the grapes that grow in the fourth year. In the first 3 years, it's Orla. You're not allowed to go and eat them. In the fourth year, Tosaf actually says, we're going to have Orla in a second, so why don't we have Orla first? So Tosaf and Dira Masu Kemrevite says, Kitzatz Kosher, the low Nokat Orla Trila. Why doesn't give us the din of Orla first? Because that's the first 3 years. In any event, we'll leave that as a question. So the Mishnah tells us, it starts off with, in the fourth year, the grapes that are on this vineyard have to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and they're eaten in Yerushalayim, similar to we have Maaseh Sheni. You likewise have a din, you're allowed to redeem them, and then they become Hulin, and the money that was sanctified via this pigeon has to be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten with a similar dinum of Maaseh Sheni. So Kerem Rivai, if you have grapes in the fourth year of the vineyard, hayu mitzaynin osam bikzuzos, so the owners of that field would demarcate that this vineyard was a fourth-year vineyard by putting down kezuzos adoma. Rashi, in the top Rashi, tells us that this is a foreign language word, which means rigve adoma, gushe ofer, a block of earth, a clump of earth. No same pisas regovim, svivos hagvulim. So they would demarcate this vineyard as being a Keren Revai vineyard by placing clumps of dirt all around this vineyard to teach people, Hodiah, to let people know, Shu Keren Revai, that this is Keren Revai. The also blow pigeon, if somebody were to go and take this, we'll see in a moment, isn't that Kineva? So we'll see we're talking about in the Shemitah when it isn't Kineva, when it's free and Hefker for everybody else. So in a situation such as Shemitah where you're allowed to go and take those fruits, otherwise it would be Geneva. So if somebody goes and takes those grapes, they should know that they have the din of Kerem Revai, and that you either have to be poed to them and bring the money yourself up to Yerushalayim, or you have to go and take those grapes and eat them up in Yerushalayim. So they would demarcate this field by putting clumps of earth, these pisas regovim, or gushe off, or blocks of dirt, they would put this around the field. Why bedavka did they pick dirt here? So the Gemara tells us, interrupting the Mishnah, simona ki adoma. They wanted to teach us a simon over here that this vineyard has the same status as adoma. What is that? Mo adoma iko hanomina. From dirt you get hanor. Rashi explains, after liachar zman becharisha, after some period of time, after you plow it, vizri, and you plant it, and tzira, and then you harvest it, you're going to get benefit from this dirt. So too, this dirt is placed there to teach you that after you go and do a pigeon, af hainami, so too with this field, this vineyard, ki mifrika, after you go and redeem these grapes, you take the kedusha of Kerem Revai from these grapes and you pulled it onto money. So ki mifriko, once you redeem it, shari lis hanue mina, then you're allowed to get hanua from it. So that's why the Bedafka put clumps of earth as the simon over here. Okay, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Vishal Arla, if you have a field of Arla, so then it's Aser. Nobody's allowed to get Hanah from that field. Now, this is the Shemitah year. People may not know that. So therefore, they would go and place shards of pottery, becharsis, around such a field. Why did the Bedavka pick shards of pottery? As Rashi says, these charsis are kesusei re'ofim, broken pieces over here, like of tiles. Tivlish is a foreign language word. Rashi tells us, pirush re'ofim, these are these tiles that are levonim, that are white. In any event, why did the Bedavka, the Gemara tells us, pick charsis as the simon over here? So, simona becharsis, because they want this field to have like a simon, like it was charsis, like it was shards of pottery. Now, what does it mean, shards of pottery? Ma charsis she'en hanoa mino. You don't get benefit from shards of pottery. So, too, avhai, the less be hanoa mine. So, too, you don't get any benefit from this field. It's also b'hanoa. There's no redemption of Arla. Arla is also b'hanoa, period. You're not allowed to go and eat this Arla. Now, Tosus points out near Masu Charsis that he says that Rashi tells us it's this kisusei re'ofim, and he says it's a little bit difficult because you're allowed to do kisui adam with these charsis, and therefore it has to be in the next Tosus Macharsis the Lesbian Noah. So this is a tamo luri, the besov kisui adam in the perik of kisui adam. It says Omer the ein mechasim ela bedover shezorimbo. It has to be something that you can plant with umatzmiach and that will grow. So you can't do kisui hadam with something that isn't something that you can plant in. So how can this shards of pottery be something that you can plant in? So therefore, Tosfos says, umashma hasam, it appears that way from the Gemara in kisui hadam, the mechasin becharsis, that you are allowed to use charsis. So the Rabbeinu Tam explains, the charsis zorimbo umatzmiach, that actually these shards of pottery, you can go and plant in them, and a little bit will grow. However, ein motziya kidei nefila, but the amount of growth here, so let's say you plant 1 ounce of seeds, you're only going to grow back a half an ounce of produce. So that's why it's called, you're not even going to make as much growing as you planted. So it's not even kidei nefila. And therefore, lekach kori de les behano. That's what it means over here, the les behano mine, that you're not getting any benefit from it. Yes, it will grow a little bit. That's why you can use it for kisui adam. But it will not grow enough to get back the original amount of seed that you placed in there. The yield will be less than the original seed. So therefore, that's why it's called les behano. In any event, that's how they would demarcate a field that was orla. Back to the Mishnah. It says, and Nebuch, if there were graves, Vishal Kvaros, they wanted to demarcate them so that people would not become tummy by passing over those graves if they were carrying kachim or taharos, or themselves not to become tummy with Tumas Oel if they were passing over a grave, so they would mark them besid. Why specifically with sid? Sid is lime. Why besid? So the Gemara tells us, simana, the reason for sid is it's a simon, the chivar katsamos, that it's white like the bones. The bones of a person are white. So they would demarcate this with white. And how would they do this? Umamcha vishofech. They would go put water into this lime. As Rashi says, mamcha es sid. They would dilute the sid with water, b'mayim, v'shofech svivos hakever, and they would pour it around, they would make a demarcation. In Nebuch, you see sometimes a police dead body, they have a sketch, they outline the body with a white chalk. So that would be the equivalent over here. They would outline the grave so people would know not to pass over here, because if you do, you become tomei with tumas ohel as you pass over the grave, or if you're carrying kachim with taharos, they would become tomei. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. And the reason why we do this is the reason they would add a little bit of water to the lime and then pour it out was so it would be very recognizable that it would be white. Okay, that is the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues now with the opinion of Rishim Gamaliel. On Rishim Gamaliel, Rishim Gamaliel tells us that what are we dealing with? As I already mentioned, it would be geneva to go and take somebody's grapes if it wasn't the Shemitah year. So what are we dealing with? Rishim Gamaliel says, when they have to b'shvias, this Mishnah is specifically talking about the Shemitah year, when anybody has the right to go to this field, to this vineyard, and take those grapes. Because in the Shemitah year, the hefker ninu, the grapes in that field are hefker, so somebody can take it. So you need to tell it, hey, listen, this is Arla. It may be hefker, but it's Arla, and you can't eat it. Listen, it may be hefker, but it's Kerem Revai, and you have to go and either redeem it or eat the grapes in Yerushalayim. So that is why Rav Shimon Gamaliel says that you have to teach people that this is the appropriate either Arla or Karam Revai. That's why they put up the respective markings for the Orla. They would put the charsis around the field, and for the Karam Revai, they would put the clumps of earth around the field, so somebody who had the halachic right to take this, because it's the Shemitah year, would know, don't take this, it's Arla, or take this, it's Karam Revai, but make sure you redeem it, or bring it up to Yerushalayim to eat it over there. Avol b'shar shnei shurishim, the Gemara says, if this was any other year of the seven-year cycle, if this was years 1 through 6, we don't have to put up markers for that person. Haliteyu larosha v'yomus. This guy's a ganav. He's going into your field and taking things he's not allowed to. So Rashi says, Shehein boyim ligzol. They're coming to steal. Yenichem. Let him go steal the yochlu and let him eat the arlo. Let him eat the karavai without redeeming it. Because dover osur. This is something that they're not allowed to do. They're stealing for you. Haliteyu larosha v'yomus. Let the guy, he's a rosha, so let him continue to do things that are terrible. Let him eat the arlo and be punished. Let him go and eat the Karmavai without redeeming it, and let him be punished. He's a ganav. So therefore, we don't worry about the first 6 years. We are really doing this for the Shemitah year. Mishnah continues and tells us, and this is what we had the other day. Now this is where this Mishnah comes from Maisa Sheni, that snuin minichin es hamos. The people that were very zealous in their performance of mitzvos, the very chassidim, that's the way we translated the snuin, the people that were very righteous people, they would go and redeem their karam revai. You can't do anything about the arla, but the karam revai, they would go and redeem it. Minichin es hamos, they would put down money and they would say, v'omrim, kol hanil kat mizeh, anything that was picked during the day over here is now mechulol al hamos halolu. We are redeeming the maisa sheni that the people took. Tosus points out that this was not during the Shemitah. In the Shemitah, they don't own it, so they can't redeem it. This is talking about during the years 1 through 6 that they would do this anyway. And they would say, if anybody went and took grapes from our Karam Revai, we are redeeming them. They didn't even want the Ganavim to go and have a sin. These are especially righteous people, these snuim, these chassidim, they would go and take money and redeem the maaser sheni that had been taken from them in years 1 through 6, Tosu says, the omrim. And they would say, kol anil kat mizeh, anybody that took grapes from this field, mechulo, we are redeeming those grapes, and we have the kedusha now on our money, and that grape that was karamavai grape is now chulin. So mechulo alamoz halolu. That's what they would do. That's what the snu would do. And here's the question. If you, Rav Yochanan, say that if somebody owns something but it's not in his possession, he doesn't have the right to go and make it hektish, so then how did they have the right to go and redeem this Karam Revai, which technically they owned, because we're talking about years 1 through 6, that's what Tosfos points out, but it's not in their possession. This guy, this Ganvid, the one who took it, let's even say he didn't do it on purpose, maybe he didn't know that it was a private field, he thought it was Hefker Vineyard, whatever. The bottom line is that if they don't have it in their possession, if Rav Yochanan is correct, that you're not allowed to go and be makdish something that even though you own it, it's not in your possession, how could they go and redeem this Karam Revai if it wasn't in their possession? That's the question that we're asking. That's the finally getting around to the kasha on Rav Yochanan. Mia Rav Yochanan Hachi. So Gemara says, you're going to tell me, v'chitema, man tana tsunuin. If you're going to tell me, well, who is the author that's doing? It's just a continuation of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a Das Yochid. Rabbi Yochanan only said that we follow a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, Kistam Yichidoi Lo Omer. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold for a Stam Mishnah if it's a individual. He only held a Stam Mishnah if it's the opinion of the Chachamim. Maybe that's what you want to say? Now, this is in parentheses over here, because as you see in Oz Dalet, the Maram was mochach zeh, and that's because even if it's not a stam mishnah, we still have the question. Because va'amar Rabba bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rabba bar Chana says in the name of Rav Yochanan that this situation, even if it's Rav Shimon Gamliel, is a stam mishnah. We always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel when he's in a mishnah, as opposed to a braisa. We don't always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but in a mishnah, with the exception of three exceptions that we're about to say, we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So whether you hold that Rav Yochanan says it's a stam mishnah, we paskin like it's a stam mishnah, or you say that it's Rav Shimon Gamliel and we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's going to be a kasha on Rav Yochanan. How can he go against his din of a stam mishnah, or that we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, except in the three cases. As the Gemara tells us, call Malkom Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel b'mishnah seinu, specifically in the Mishnah, in the Brisa, we don't always follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, but the ruling that Rabbi Bar Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan holds he's either a Stam Mishnah, and that's why we had it in the parentheses, because if you say it's not a Stam Mishnah, then he's still passing like a Shimon Gamliel, because anytime we have a Shimon Gamliel in a Mishnah, Halacha Kimoso, we pass like him with three exceptions. Chutzpah, Orev, Vitzaidon, Uraya, Achrona. What are these three cases? So just go over them very, very quickly. First one is Gemara in Bava Basra, where Shimon Gamliel says that you're not allowed to go and collect from the guarantor if the person who is supposed to pay the loan back has money, has property. You can only go to the guarantor, Shimon Gamliel says, if the person who he was guaranteeing the loan for doesn't have any property. The Chum disagree. So here we don't pass Shimon Gamliel. Second case is a Gemara in Gittin. We didn't have it that long ago. Shimon Gamliel said that if a get was given al tanai, it was given, I'm giving you this get, the man says to his wife on al manas that you return to me this itzdalis. And itzdalis is a fancy coat. Let's call it a fur coat. So he says to the wife, this get is a good get, but I want you to return to me my fur coat. So what happens if the fur coat's not there? So Shimon Gamliel says it's okay if she gives him the value of the fur coat, the get will still be a valid get. The Chum disagrees. He said, no, you have to return the fur coat. He said, Al Manasseh, you return to me the itzlis. If you didn't return the itzlis, it's not a good get according to Chacham. Shimon Gamliel says it is a good get. Oh, we don't pass on Shimon Gamliel like this. That's the second case. That's the case of Tzaidah. This was a Maaseh Shaya in the city called Tzaidah. And the third case was we have two scenarios there, and we paskin like Shimon Gamliel in the first scenario, that's called Raya Rishona, but we don't paskin like him in the second case of Raya Achrona. The first case there was if a person said, I will bring my rayas within 30 days, and he doesn't bring his rayas within 30 days. He then has a raya that he finds after 30 days, so Shimon Gamliel says, what could the guy, poor guy, do? He thought he would be able to bring it in 30 days, but he didn't, and now he's bringing it in day 45, we still accept it. So there we paskin like Shimon Gamliel. The second case, the Raya Achrona, we don't pass on the Shimon Gamliel. He said, if a person said, I do not have Edom, and then he subsequently finds Edom, so Shimon Gamliel says, we believe him, even though he said originally, I don't have Edom, he just didn't know. Now he finds out he has Edom, so he's allowed to go and bring those Edom. Whereas the Chacham say, no, we don't believe him in that situation. The guy said he didn't have Edom, so he shouldn't have said anything. Since he said he didn't have Edom, we don't believe him when he brings Edom later on, and here we pass on like the Chacham and not like Shimon Gamliel. So those are the three exceptions to our rule that Rav Yochanan himself had said in the name of Rabbi Bar Bachanis, in the name of Rav Yochanan, Komokim Sheshana Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mishasenu Halach Kamoso. So whether you say it's a Stam Mishnah, or even if you want to say it's a Shimon Gamliel, and it's not a Stam Mishnah, but we paskin like this according to Rav Yochanan, how can Rav Yochanan tell us? Again, here's our question, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, that if a person is not in physical possession of his own item, he's not allowed to be Makdish. Here you clearly see that he can. So the more answers, Amrei, Lo Temor, Kol Hanil Katmizeh, when the Tznuim over here said, Hatznuim Enichin Ethamos, and they said, Kol Hanil Kat, anything that was collected from this field during the day, meaning when it is no longer in their possession, don't read it as Nilkat that was already collected during the day, Ella read it, Ema, Kol HaMislakeit Mizeh. They would say in the morning, they would say, anything that will be collected from this field today by a person, and they're going to eat Karen Revai without realizing it, so we are redeeming it now. While it's still in our possession, it is not yet picked, so therefore it's still in the possession. So here there's no problem. The guy owns the field, and it's in his possession, so he's allowed to say, anything that will be redeemed from this field, anything we take from this field, I'm redeeming it now on this money. Oh, therefore we get around the problem. But that creates a new problem, because this assumes the principle of Brera, because they don't know, the owners of the field that snew him don't know which grapes will be collected. So they're saying whichever grapes are collected are redeemed on this coin that I have here right now. But that implies Brera, that when it is collected, when the person goes and takes it, retroactively, it's now determined that that is what was Nifta on this coin. But that's a principle of Brera that not everybody holds, including Rav Yochanan. Umi, I'm Rav Yochanan Hachi. How can you tell me Rav Yochanan holds this principle of Brera? I'll show you that Rav Yochanan doesn't hold the principle of Brera. For I'm Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said the Tznuin, our case over here of the Tznuin, and they were brought down in this Mishnah from Maaseh Sheni, and Rabbi Dosa, Amru Dover Echad, the Tznuin and Rabbi Dosa say the same thing. In other words, they hold the same principles. Now, Rabbi Dosa, Nilkat Kamar. Now, Rabbi Dosa talks here that it's a case of Nilkat. So, Rabbi Dosa is the one that says, we're dealing here that it's after the fact, that, not like Rabbi Yochanan, that in fact, the word is Nilkat. At the end of the day, they say, now we're redeeming anything that was Nilkat during the day. Rabbi Dosa, Nilkat Kamar. So, that goes against Rabbi Yochanan. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa, and you see that, how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds over here that it's talking about Kol HaMislakeit in the future, and therefore they're in ownership of it. If you're telling me Rabbi Yochanan says that the Tznuin and Rabbi Dosa all the same thing, Rabbi Dosa clearly says Nilkat, that after it's been picked, he said it. Because it's a machlokes. The Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shachris. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says, like we just wanted to change the gears around. Rabbi Yehuda says that Shachris, in the morning time, before it's been picked, Balabais Omeid the Omer, the Balabais stands there and he says, Kol SheYilaktu Aniim Hayom Yehefker. He says it the way that we wanted Rav Yochanan to hold like, because this way there is no problem of he owns it, but he doesn't have it in his possession. How could he go and redeem it? So therefore, Rav Yochanan had to switch it around to say that anything that will be Kol HaMislakeit in the future. But Rabbi Dosa doesn't hold like that. Rabbi Dosa says it Nilkat, as the Braisa tells us, the Tanya. It's Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shachus Balabais Omer the Omer Kol SheYilaktu Aniim Hayom Yehefker. That fits in with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's doing hold like Rabbi Dosa. And the Braisa continues, says Rabbi Dosa Omer, no, it's not in the morning, it's Litusei Erev, at the end of the day, at nighttime. The Tznuin said, Omer, Kol SheLiktu, anything that was Nilkat, Aniim Yehefker. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan can't say it's what will be picked in the morning, but it's Rabbi Yochanan saying, like Rabbi Dosa, that it's already what's been picked. So this is the Kasha. So Gemara says, you have to flip it around. Epoch to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Dosa. Flip around, Rabbi Yochanan holds in the Braisa that what we attributed to Rabbi Yehuda is really Rabbi Dosa. Oh, now we're okay, because Rabbi Dosa is the one that says what Rabbi Yehuda said over here, Shachris. So therefore, Rabbi Dosa is now the one that's not saying Nilkut, he's saying Mashi Yilaktu. And that which we attribute to Rabbi Dosa in the evening, that's in fact Rabbi Yehuda. But this is a problem. The Gemara says, Amai Avchis Masti. So why do we flip around the Braisa and flip around the statements of Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't we flip around what Rabbi Yochanan said? Avchis Rabbi Yochanan, instead of saying that the Tznuin and Rabbi Dosa hold the same thing, the Ema, you should say, Tznuin Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Dover Echad. Why are we flipping around the Braisa? After all, that's the Tanoic statement. Flip around the Amoraic statement. Flip around Rabbi Yochanan's statement and say that he holds it, the Tznuin and Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Dosa, the Tznuin and Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Dover Echad. Where it says, no, that leads to the problem of Breyer that I mentioned a moment ago. You can't learn it like that because Amrei, Lo Sagya, the Lo Mishapich Masnisa, you must flip around the attribution in the Braisa and say that what we attributed to Rabbi Yehuda is really Rabbi Dosa, and that which we attributed to Rabbi Dosa is really Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, we have to have Rabbi Dosa say that it's in the morning that he said what will be picked from over here. Now that Tznuim go like Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Yochanan has no problem because this is now all in the possession and ownership of the same person, and he can be redeeming it because he can hold like the opinion that says it's in the evening. And now we're flipping around that opinion. That's not Rabbi Dosa. We're saying that that is Rabbi Yehuda. Because you can't flip around what Rabbi Yochanan said, because if you flip around Rabbi Yochanan says that it's doing and Rabbi Yehuda say the same thing, so that's a problem because the Bahar Masnisin, now that's the gears that we have. Many say this should really be Masnisa, because we're talking here about this Braisa. The Baha Masnisa Ketane, the Isle L'Rabbi Yehuda Breira. Because from this Braisa, we clearly see that Rabbi Yehuda holds Breira. Because if you say that what will be done in the morning, he says whatever will be picked from this field. So as I said, that requires holding from the principle of Breira. And we know for a fact, V'shamim L'Le L'Rabbi Yehuda, we have the famous Gemara that we learned many times, that Rabbi Yehuda in fact holds, B'alma in general, the last lay Breira. That there is no din of Breira. Where do we see this? There's a famous Mishnah that we've learned in many places. And actually, the Gears over here should be, the Mesor Seshach tells us it should be the Tanya, because it's really taught in the following Braisa, albeit there is a Mishnah that's very much like this. That's why some have the Gears of the Tanan over here, but it's more likely that this is actually referring to the Braisa. That's why the Mesor Seshach and Ostes says it should be the Tanya, because that's really a Tosefta in Yuma that we're quoting, and this is quoted many places in the Gemara. When we turn to Samach Tes Amud Beis, because the Braisa tells us, if a person goes and purchases wine from a kusi, now Rashi tells us this is occurring be erev Shabbos. Top Rashi says be erev Shabbos ben hashmashos. This is occurring on erev Shabbos ben hashmashos, and he doesn't have time to go and take off trumas and maisus at this point in time. He the tiny bit tosefta. That's why the word titania makes more sense, because we really seem to be quoting this tosefta, even though there's a mishnah like this. It says the kidesh olav hayom. The day is ending and it's becoming Shabbos. The ein lo malishtos for Shabbos. He's not going to have wine for Shabbos, and he's not going to have anything to drink for Shabbos. The ein lo pnai lahafrish, and there is no time for him to go be mafrish trumos and maisus from this wine that he purchased from the kusim, who was suspect for not taking off trumas and maisus. They may have been medakte for themselves to take trumas and maisus, but if they were selling to somebody else, they didn't believe in Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Mel. So they weren't afraid of making somebody else stumble, and therefore they would sell wine that had to be chashur, had to be concerned that it didn't have Trumas Amaisus taken from it. Talmud Chacham would never sell something that didn't have Trumas Amaisus taken from it, but the Kusim certainly would. So if you go purchase Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShmashos, this wine from the Kusim, and you have no way of being mafresh it before Shabbos, so what should you do? So the Braisa tells us, and this will be the opinion of Rav Meir, Omer, the guy should say, Shnei Lugin Shani Osid LaHafresh, you're going to go and not physically separate it, but you're just going to state it's a liquid. You can't separate it on Shabbos. Now it'll be Mafres, Trumas, and Maisis on Shabbos. But you say two of the Lugin, let's say it's 100 Lugin over here. So two of these Lugin, that's 1/50th, that will be the Truma Gedola that I will eventually go and separate out after Shabbos that will be left behind. He has to make sure he doesn't drink up the entire container. He has to leave behind all of these things that he's separating as Truma and Maisis Rishon. So the Shnei Lugin, Shani Osa LaHafresh, is two of the 100 Lugin that I'm going to go and be mafresh eventually for Truma Gedola, Hare ain't Truma. They're going to be the Truma Gedola. And then you have 98 left, so we're just rounding it off, and we say the Asara, the 1/10th that is going to be designated for Maisa Rishon eventually, I'm separating off now and saying it's really 9.8, but we'll call it 10. It's a nice round number. That is going to be Maisa Rishon. And then I have to take off Maisa Sheni. So again, that's going to be, it's not 90 left, it's really 88.2 because it was 10% of 98, which is 9.8, and you're taking it off from 98. So that really gives you 88.2. In any event, that will be designated, that 1/10th of that 88.2, that 8.82, will be designated over here as Maisa Sheni, and that you go and redeem. That you can do. Umecha, you say, I want to deconsecrate that on these coins that Maisa Sheni that I have in my house that I'll eventually take up to Yerushalayim. So that you can do right now. No problem. There's no issur in doing that on Shabbos. And now you've basically taken off the essential Trumos and Maisos, the Truma Gedola, the Maisa Rishon, and the Maisa Sheni in the appropriate year. If it was Maisa Ani, you'd have to go take that off in that appropriate year. And you take that off, and now Vishosimiyad. Now you can drink as much as you want, leaving, of course, behind enough for the Truma Gedola, enough for the Maisa Rishon that you took off, and you must leave at least that much behind. You can leave, of course, more behind, and then you'll separate it out after Shabbos. So Vishosimiyad. Then you're allowed to drink it. Divri Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. And this is based upon the principle of Breira, that what you will eventually separate out is what you're separating out now. It's a liquid. It's all immersed together. It's mixable. You can't say, well, that was it. Well, now it's over there. Now it's over there. So it's moving about. So what you eventually take off will be retroactively determined to be what you mentioned at the beginning. Divri Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. He holds Breira. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, all three of these Tanoim Osrin, they disagree with Rav Meir. And they say, no, we do not hold from the principle of Breira. So what do you clearly see over here? You can't do this according to them because it involves Breira. And Rabbi Yehuda, that's what we're interested in right now, as well as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, don't hold from Breira. So therefore, if you had said that Rabbi Yochanan is flipping around his sheet and say that Tznuim hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you have the problem that the Tznuim and Rabbi Yehuda are saying that he's doing it in the morning, that they will go and say what will be picked over here, but that involves Breira, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from Breira, so it can't be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why you have to flip around the Braisa and say the Tznuin hold like Rabbi Dosa, and we flipped around Rabbi Dosa's opinion to say in the morning, because Rabbi Yochanan himself has no problem with Breira, and Rabbi Dosa also has no problem with Breira. Okay, so Gemara says, no, we still got a problem. Amre, sov, sov. Bottom line, amai ko avchis lo lemasni sin. That's the gear that we have, but it should be lemasni saw. Why do we flip around Rabbi Dosa and Yehuda and the bright saw? Mishum, the kasha, Yehuda, Yehuda, because we had a problem with Rabbi Yehuda. On Rabbi Yehuda, because then we would have had Rabbi Yehuda holding Breira in one place, and he clearly holds no Breira in the other place. So now, okay, granted, we got rid of the problem of Yehuda, but hashta nami kash, the Rav Yochanan. We have a problem with Rav Yochanan. I just said a minute ago, the Rav Yochanan doesn't hold from Breira. That's why it's no problem. But Rav Yochanan does hold from Breira. Hashta nami kash, the Rav Yochanan, the Rav Yochanan. Where do we see that? Because the Amos of Rav Yochanan, because lo temo kol anilkat, el emo kol mislakit. If you're telling me that he holds, it don't say that anything that has been collected during the day over here, you're allowed to go and redeem, because Rav Yochanan says, you're not allowed to redeem something if you don't have it in your possession. It's not enough to just own it. So then, Alma Isle Breira. If he says, Kol HaMislaki, then Rav Yochanan holds from Breira. But, Vah Rav Yochanan Lesle Breira. But the rule is that Rav Yochanan doesn't hold from Breira. Where do we see that? Because the Rav Asi is one of the star pupils of Rav Yochanan. He and Rav Ami were first generation of Roy in Eretz Yisrael, and he said over the name of Rav Yochanan, Ha'achin Shecholku lekuchos hein. If you have two brothers that inherit an estate from their father, so there's two ways of looking at the inheritance. Do we say that retroactively the share that Reuven took from the father is what he inherited, and retroactively the share that Shimon took from his father is what he inherited, and that each one actually inherited what they have, not that they originally inherited everything and then they split it up, but no, we say once they divided it up, Bereira, this was what Reuven got, is retroactively what he actually inherited, and that which Shimon got, Bereira, retroactively is what he inherited, and therefore they at the Ovel they wouldn't have to go and redo the inheritance. But if you say like Rav Yochanan said, Rav Atzi Omer Rav Yochanan, ha'achen shechoku l'kuchos hein, we don't hold from Breira. Rav Yochanan doesn't hold from Breira. And therefore, the Achen are considered as partners. And therefore, each of them inherited 50% of the entire estate. And then they subdivided and said, okay, Reuven said, I'll take this half and you take that half. So originally, Reuven didn't own his entire Yerusha that he got. It was half owned by Shimon. But then they split it up. So now they're called Lekuchos. They're called partners. And therefore, Umachzir and Zel Zebi Ovel. When the Ovel comes, they have to redivide the estate. Now, according to many Mefarshim, when they redivide the state, they don't have to reallocate it. They just, quote, redivide it. But then it goes back exactly the way it was. Others say, no, they actually have to go and redivide the state. And if one of them is unhappy with what they got, they can actually now redo the original Yerusha division. But again, many say that they don't redo the division, but they do have to technically give it back. The Yovel has to be given back. So Rav Yochanan clearly holds no Breira. So how can you tell me that Rav Yochanan says that Snuin and Rabbi Dosa hold that they did it in the morning, and they would say anything that will be picked from over here, this gets around the problem of Rabbi Yochanan saying that the Shita is that you can be makdish something only if you own it and have it in your possession, so they could only be redeeming the Kerem Revi if they have it in their possession as well as own it, so that gets around this problem. So now the Tznuim hold like the opinion of Rabbi Dosa who says that, but it now also requires Rabbi Yochanan to hold Breira, and he doesn't hold Breira. So Gemara says, you're right. El Eliolam Kol Anilka. Leave everything the way that it was. And the Tznuin hold like Rabbi Dosa, who says, Kol Anilka. Anything that has been collected during the day of it. No longer Breira. It's a problem of Rabbi Yochanan said that you can't go be redeeming something if you don't own it and have it in your possession. You can't be mocked to something if you don't own it and have it in your possession. What about that problem? Rabbi Yochanan, Stomo Achrino Ashkach. You know what? There's another Stam Mishnah. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the Stam Mishnah that says the Tznuin did this. While that's a Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't paskin like that Stam Mishnah. He doesn't hold like the Tznuin. Rabbi Yochanan stomo achrino ashkach, because he has a different Stam Mishnah that he holds like, and that will reconcile with his Shita that you have to be both in owner and in possession of something to be makdish it. And what's this other Stam Mishnah? We learn in the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we had a week ago, the Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein ha-gonev achar ha-ganav mishalem tashlum kefel. If a person stole something, so you have ganav number one, and then ganav number two comes and steals the item from ganav number one. So the Mishnah there had said, Ein ha-gonev achar ha-ganav mishalem tashlum kefel, that the second ganav doesn't have to pay tashlum kefel. Now, why? Amai. We understand that Bishlomo Leganav Rishon LeMishalim, he doesn't have to pay to the first Ganav because the Pasuk tells us, V'gunav mibei so'ish. Pasuk tells us, Ki tein ish el reyehu kesef l'chilin l'shvar, V'gunav mibei so'ish. You only have the din of kefel when you stole it from the original owner, from his house. V'gunav mibei so'ish, v'lo mibei so'ganav, and not from the house of the Ganav. So we understand why Ganav number two doesn't have to pay Ganav number one, kefel. However, why don't we make Ganav number two pay to the original owner? Elalibalim Nishalim. Why doesn't Ganav number two have to pay kefel to the original owner? Oh, what do you see? The Mishnah said he doesn't. He doesn't pay kefel not only he doesn't pay kefel to the Ganav number one, but he doesn't pay the kefel to the original owner. So therefore, Elalav Shmamino, we see from here, Zeh Lefi She'eno Shelo, Zeh Lefi She'eno Bershuso. The reason why he doesn't pay kefel to Ganav number one is because Ganav number one doesn't own it. And the reason he doesn't pay kefel to the original owner is because while the original owner owns it still, it's not in his possession. Lefi she'eino birishuso. This is the Stam Mishnah for Rav Yochanan to teach us the din that you can only be makdish something if you both own it and have it in your possession. So we have a different Stam Mishnah, and Rav Yochanan holds like this Stam Mishnah from Daf Samach Beis that we just learned, the Ganav who steals from another Ganav, and he doesn't hold from the Stam Mishnah of the Tznuin. Shmuel asks the obvious question. Umay chazes the ozu basar hai stoma levit ki hai stoma. The Tznuin. Why did you say that Rav Yochanan prefers to go like the Mishnah on Samach Beis? Why not go like the Mishnah in Maisa Shady with the Tznuin? Gemara says, because if he has a choice over here, he would prefer to use the Mishnah on Samach Beis because Mishum de Messiah Lekra, because it's a Stam Mishnah that has a strong Pasuk supporting it. Because the Pasuk is, the Ish ki yakdish es beiso kodesh l'Hashem. The Pasuk tells us that a person can only be makdish something, his house, to be hektish. And just like ma beiso birishuso, just like his house is considered in his possession, it's his house, so too he only can be makdish something af kol birishuso. Not only that he owns it, but it has to be in his possession. So therefore, since the pasuk seems to indicate that this Stam Mishnah is in fact correct, that's why Rav Yochanan chose to follow this Stam Mishnah as opposed to the Stam Mishnah of the Tznuin. Amar Baye, Baye now comes to tell us, he loved Amar Rav Yochanan, Tznuin, Rabbi Dosa, Amar Dover Echad. If it wasn't for the fact that Rav Yochanan specifically stated that the Tznuin and Rabbi Dosa hold the same din, I would have said, Hav Amino, on my own, I would have said, Abaye holds Tznuin, the Isul Rabbi Dosa. The Tznuin definitely hold like Rabbi Dosa. However, Rabbi Dosa less lay the Tznuin. But Rabbi Dosa doesn't necessarily hold like the Tznuin. That's what I would have said on my own until Rav Yochanan came along and said that the Tznuin and Rav Yedosa say the same thing. Now, why is that? Why would Abaye say that the Tznuin is Luda Rav Yedosa, the Tznuin who would go and redeem the Kerem Revai and say that wherever the Kerem Revai is, it is redeemed on this coin, so those people that took it wouldn't be overeating Kerem Revai outside of Yerushalayim, so they definitely hold the Rav Yedosa. Why is that? Because the Tznuin are talking about a Ganav. Uma beganav of the Rabbanan Takanta. That the Tznuin said, even for Ganavim, we're going to go and do this. So Aniyim, the case of Rav Yedosa, was the case of Aniyim. Tzrichel Meimar. Because I didn't actually say this so clearly, when we were learning the case of Rabbi Dosa of Yehuda, we were talking about leket, kol sheyilaktu aniyim ayom yehefker, that anything that they took, it should be hefker. The person was saying that if the aniyim picked something that they weren't entitled to go and take, it's talking about aniyim. It's not talking about Maisa Sheni, it wasn't talking about Kerem Revai, it was talking about the leket that they're entitled to take. So if they took something that they weren't entitled to take, so I'm making it hefker, the Baal HaBayis says, so therefore they're not over Gizela. So in the case of Rabbi Dosa of Yehuda, they're arguing about hetera. So if the Tznuin say, even in a case of Gineva, where the person is stealing from the Kerem Revai, so he says there that the Tznuin would do it. So certainly in the case of Rabbi Dosa of Yehuda, the case where it's aniyim, so they're the hetera taking it, tzrich lemeimar, you even have to tell me that? Of course. If the Tznuin held for Geneva that they did this takana, certainly they would do it for the Aniyim. So the Tznuim certainly held like Rabbi Dosa. But Lav Dafka the other way around. Rabbi Dosa, Abaye says, less like the Tznuin. Maybe Rabbi Dosa doesn't hold like the Tznuin. You know what? Aniyim, for the poor people who had a right to go and take things in the field and they mistakenly may take something that you didn't have the right to take, Aniyim, who the Adulu, Rabbanan Takanta. So there, the person would go and make this Hefker so the poor Aniyim wouldn't accidentally transgress something. They weren't intentionally transgressing, they were only accidentally transgressing. So there, they made a takana. However, by Ganav, Avoganav, lo avdulei rabbanan takanta. They may say for the Ganav, gesundheit, go and be over the Isra of Kerem Revai. We don't care, you're a Ganav. So therefore, Rabbi Dosa doesn't necessarily hold like the Tznuin. That's what Abaye said on his own, until you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they actually hold the same way. That's the first statement that we have. Then we have a similar statement from Rava. Amar Rava, Rava tells us, he loved the Amr of Yochanan, Tzu and Rabbi Yosef, Amr Dover Echad. If it wasn't for the fact that Yochanan said that they hold the same Shita, the Tzu and Rabbi Yosef hold the same thing. On my own, Hav Amina, Rava would have said, on my own, Man Tana Tznuin. Who's the author of the Tznuin? It's Rabbi Meir he. I would have said the Tznuin is Rabbi Meir he. Because after all, Lav Amar Rabbi Meir, Maiser Mamun Govoahu. I would have explained the Tznuin within the opinion of Meir, who holds that Maiser Sheni belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Kerem Revai also, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really yours. You have the right to go and take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, but it's not yours. You can't be Makadosh a woman with it. So, Vafilu Hachid, and even though it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Le'inyan Pediyah, in regards to redemption, to go and redeem this Maiser Sheni, or in this case, the Kerem Revai, Okmei Rachmona Birishusei, the Torah made it as if it's in your possession. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Torah made it as if it's in your possession to go and redeem it. As the pasuk says, "Dichsiv v'im go'ol yigal ish mimasro chamishiso Yosef olav." If you go and redeem your ma'aser sheni, that's what the pasuk is talking about. But the same thing works for Karim Revai. If you go and redeem your ma'aser sheni, it's called your ma'aser sheni. Even belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then you have to go when you redeem your own ma'aser sheni. You have to pay the principal, the value of it, and you have to add on a fifth if it's your own ma'aser sheni. So you see, kai rachmana, the Torah calls this ma'asro u'mosiv chomesh. It's your ma'aser, and you have to add on a fifth to it. So too, Karim Revai. Same din applied by Karim Revai. Karim Revai Nami. Because Gomar Kodesh Kodesh Mimaisa. We learn out the dinim of Karim Revai from Maisa Sheni with Xerishab of Kodesh Kodesh. It says, Ksiv Hocha, it says in regards to Karim Revai, Kodesh Hilulim. They're referred to as Uvashana Harviyis, Yeh Kol Perio Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. So we use the term Kodesh over here. That's the first part of the Gzeir Shabbat. Uksiv by Gabi Maisa Sheni, it says, Uksiv Gabi Maisa, V'chol Masar Ha'aretz, Mizera Ha'aretz, Lashem. Who? Kodesh Lashem. So you see over there, it uses the Lashon of Kodesh. So, Ma Kodesh, Uksiv Gabi Maisa Sheni, even though it's considered HaKodesh Baruch Hu, it's Mamon Gavoa, in regards to redemption, in Yom Pidiyah, Okmei Rachmona, the Torah gave it, Birshu Sei, as if it's in your possession. So too, in regards to the Karim Revai, Avhai, Kodesh, Nami, the Siv Gabi Karim Revai, this Zerushav of Kodesh Kodesh teaches us that even though it's not physically in your possession, Avon Gavdalav Mamon Didehu, and it's not technically yours, the Torah nevertheless gave you the ability to go and redeem it. Leaning achule in regard to the redemption, okmei rachmona birshusei, it's as if it's in your possession. Because daha ki isei birshusei nami holav didehu. Because even if it's in your possession, it's not really yours. So therefore, v'ha motzi mechul, you have the right to go and redeem it, even though it's not really yours, even though it's physically in your possession. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamon gavoa. So too, mishomachim motzi mechul. Nevertheless, the Torah gave you the right to go and redeem it. So too, that's by Ma'aser Sheni, and that's by Karim Revai. However, by the leket, Avol Gabi leket, that is not Mamon Gavoa. That's yours. Kevin the Mamona Diday. That is truly yours. So only Ki Yisei Birishusei Hu Demotzi Mavkulei. Ki Leisei Birishusei Lo Motzi Mavkulei. So there, Lav Davka, would the two be the same? Because by leket, one can argue that it has to literally be in your possession. By Karim Revai Ma'aser Sheni, it doesn't have to literally be in your possession because it never is in your possession. So therefore, wherever it is, you can go redeem it because it really belongs to Hashem and you're given the right to go redeem it. It doesn't make a difference whether it's in your possession or not in your possession. But leke, that is yours. That you own that field. So therefore, only when it's in your possession would you have the right to go and make it hefker. But if it's not in your possession, you wouldn't have the right to go and make it hefker. So therefore, Rava says, if it wasn't for the fact that Yochanan said that they hold the same thing, I would have said on my own that they don't hold the same thing. And finally, we have the similar comment from Ravina. Ravina tells us as follows. Ravina, if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said that they hold the same shita, I on my own would have said otherwise. Havamina, I would have said, man tanitznu, who's the author that's doing? That in fact is Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa he. So it's all one opinion. That's doing and Rabbi Dosa, that's Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa he. Ki hechid lo tikshe stam mishle Rabbi Yochanan. And then we don't have a problem of, how come Rav Yochanan didn't hold like this Stam Mishnah? He always holds like a Stam Mishnah. Okay, we found another Stam Mishnah, but then we don't even have to go there. And we can say, no, he doesn't hold like this because it's not a Stam Mishnah. Because the Rabbi Yochanan, we turn to Ayin Omer Aleph. This is what we said before in the parentheses, which we said we were deleting. Kistam Yichidoy Lomar, because he doesn't necessarily hold like the Stam Mishnah if it's a Das Yochid. He only holds, Rav Yochanan only said his famous statement that we always pass like a Stam Mishnah, is the Stam Mishnah is the opinion of the Chachamim. Then we pass like a Stam Mishnah. But if it's a Stam Mishnah of a Yochid, and I would have said on my own, Ravina said that this Rabbi Dosa is the author of this Stam Mishnah that's doing, then we wouldn't have had the problem. So if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that the Stam Mishnah and Rabbi Dosa are the same opinion, obviously the Stam Mishnah is not Rabbi Dosa, so therefore I on my own would have said, no, the Stam Mishnah over here is Rabbi Dosa, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan didn't have to hold like this Stam Mishnah. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's shiur.